Amen. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew 19. Now we're going to read some verses there in Matthew 19, and then we're going to jump over to Matthew chapter 20. And we have been discussing, as we've gone through this series here, we've been discussing the parables of Jesus, and been discussing these parables and talking about how they relate to us in today's times and all of that. And as we've gone through these parables, if you remember, we have looked at some that were dealing with people that need to be saved. We've dealt with the sower. We've dealt with the seed. We've dealt with the ground that the seed falls upon. We have dealt with the grain of a mustard seed. The week that I was gone, Brother Sean taught the lesson on the leaven. And so we've gone through all of these different parables here. And we have seen that some of them, they have a more prophetic teaching and things that are going to happen. And we have some that apply to before a person gets saved, and some that apply to where we are now and all of that. And today, I want us to look at this parable. The lesson today is entitled this, Laborers in the Vineyard. And I want us to look at this parable here today and apply it to our own lives and realizing that we are here for what God has us here for. And that is it. Notice here in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 27, and read through the end of the chapter here, it says this, Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Now, jump over to verse 16 of chapter 20, if you will, and notice the Lord is still answering a question here in verse 16 of chapter 20. And he says this. It says, So the last shall be first and the first last, for many called, but few chosen. Now notice the Lord is answering this question here. And as we look at this this parable, it's important for us to understand that this parable is not speaking about salvation here. It's not what it's speaking about. As we study this parable, it is speaking about service. And as we go through these laborers in the vineyards here, there's a lot of these ones that they're going to be working. They have been told that this is a job and they're going to do a certain job. But notice here, this passage is one that we are describing and happened immediately after Christ talked with the rich young ruler there in Matthew chapter 19. In verse 16 and 17, it says, And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if he will enter into life, keep the commandments. Now, notice here in this statement, the Lord declared to this man that if he were calling Christ good, that there is no good than God. So notice, this man comes up there and he says, Good master. And Christ says this, Why are you calling me good? And here's what Christ is doing here. He is letting this man know, okay, so if you're calling me good and God is the only one good, then here's what you're saying. You are declaring that I am God. Therefore, here's what you have to do. You see, it was the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not let this man believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was just some other man. No, he told him, he said, look, if you're calling me good and God is good, then here's what you have to do. And of course, we know that the young man, he went away sorrowful. And notice here, Christ, he was saying, of course, that he is God. And what he was doing here is let this man know that if Christ is God, he should be willing to do whatever God wanted him to do, which included getting rid of his possessions. You know, the Lord knows what has our heart better than we do. He knows that. And there's many things that if we were to say, what has your heart? Well, we would say, well, the Lord has my heart. But then you look at your life, how is your time spent? How are your conversations spoken? How is your attitude in all of those things? If you watch a person's life, you will see exactly where their heart is. When a person realizes that there is a God, each and every one of us, we would say that that person, well, they should be on their knees and asking God, Lord, what will thou have me to do? But many times it's not that way. Unfortunately, there's many people who are exactly like this rich young ruler who walked away sorrowful. When the Lord returned to his disciples, notice that they were thinking to themselves, well, Lord, we've forsaken everything. We've given up everything. You asked this rich young ruler when he asked you what he had to do. You said that you had to get rid of all of these things. And Lord, we've given everything. The Lord spoke to them, and we see that he answered this question there in verse 27 through 30 that we read here just a few moments ago. And the Lord spoke to them, and he talked to them about forsaking the things that they loved, whether it was houses or land or family members. But then he also talked to them about this reward, that is the life everlasting. What he's talking about there. The great truth is taught here, is given for the followers of the Lord. We are called as Christians to give up something or someone for someone. That is to give it up for Christ. We are to love Christ. Now get this here. More than anything and anyone that we could ever come into contact with. You know, when you have someone that loves their family the way that they're supposed to love their family, you know how that is so? Because they love God more than their family. If we have God in his rightful place, the other things fall into place. And notice the Lord was declaring here to this rich young ruler, he says, so if you call me good, then here's what you're going to do, because you're saying that I am God. Following the Lord is taking is forsaking something you love for someone that you love more. I think of the missionaries that we support, and of course we got the Smiths here today, and I think of that back wall, and as we look at all of those different ones, we've got all areas of the world, and just all of these ones that that are on the mission field, and we would say, wow, they're doing a great work for God. Well, if you were to ask the Smiths here, they're out there to the west, and he was telling me yesterday how they have family members serving the Lord here and serving the Lord here and serving the Lord here and all of that. Can I tell you this? Fleshly speaking, they don't want to be away from their family. Their flesh doesn't want to be away from their family. Is that right? You want to be with your family. But here's where the truth comes in here. But they love God more. And because of that, they know this is where God has them. And you see the Lord is working through their family in so many ways because the Lord has the rightful place. I've mentioned a few times a missionary friend of mine from growing up, they were going to Honduras, and somebody asked them, they said, why would you go back there at this time? There's riots going on and all of these things. It's not safe to be there. Why don't you just stay here in the States? And I can remember the mother saying this, because it's safer for me to be on a foreign mission field than it is to be in the safety of my country if I'm outside of the Lord's will. And I remember that vividly. And as I was going through this message, I'm thinking about these things, and I'm thinking, do I love the Lord more than I love everything else? Because that will determine how we live. I love the answer that Christ gives to his disciples when they ask this question. And of course, they didn't word it in this way, but I want you to see here in this passage in chapter 19, verse 27. Notice, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Here's what Peter is saying in our vernacular today. Lord, look what we've done. Now what are we going to get? That's what he's asking there. Well, Lord, you said that if they give this up, then here's what they're going to get. Look at everything that I've done. So what's coming my way? The Lord started to tell him exactly what's coming his way. Notice here the answer there in Matthew chapter 20. We're going to get to this here in just a moment. But notice when the man who owned the vineyard there, this is what he said: "Whatsoever is right, will I give you. Whatsoever is right." So jump over there, if you will, Matthew chapter 20 and verse 1, and we're going to read down through some verses here. Matthew chapter 20, starting in verse 1, the Bible says this: "For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard." Now, as we read through this, notice the time of day and notice the amount of money that the people are getting. That is very important here. So verse 2, "When he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Then he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. When they came, they were hired about the 11th hour. They received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. When they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, The last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto the last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen." Now notice here what's going on. The Lord of the vineyard here, this man, he did this for a reason in this parable. The Lord was telling them that he said, pay the last one first, because he wanted to see the attitude of the ones that were getting, that had worked all day. You know, when the Lord calls us to do something, it's amazing how he works out the detail. We just have to trust in him. As me and my family, as we were living in Delaware, when the Lord called us to come up here, I did not base the Lord's calling on what the compensation package was. I didn't base the Lord's calling based on the area in which the Lord was calling us to. No, I based the Lord's calling on how the Lord guided the steps to come up here. Now, I'm not saying that today to pat myself on the back or anything like that. What I'm saying is this. I had to come to the point where I knew this is what the Lord's called us to do. The Lord is going to provide, and he is going to take care of us no matter what. That doesn't mean, of course, that we are to be careless or something like that, but it does mean that we are to trust the Lord. The laborers here, they said that there was work that's going to go on here. And notice verse 2, it says, "And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into the vineyard." Now, the Jewish day, it started at 6 in the morning, and there were 12 hours in a day. The first hour of the day was 7 o'clock. The second hour was 8 o'clock, so on and so forth. And the good man went out early in the morning and said this, "Let's go to work." And he had told these ones that this is what the work was going to be. And they replied, of course, they wanted to know what the money was. And when he had agreed with the laborers, they said, "You're going to get one penny a day." And we look at that today and we say, "I'm not going to go out and labor in a vineyard for a penny a day." A penny a day back then was a lot more than it is today. Amen. And notice they said that they were going to work for a penny a day. Look at verse 3 and 4. Then we've got about 9 o'clock, and then a little bit later on, one's at noon and one's at 3. And the person said, the Lord of the vineyard said this, I'm going to give you whatsoever is right. He didn't tell them he was going to give them a penny. He just said, whatsoever's right, I'll give it to you. Laborers went out. And then look at verse 10, if you will. Notice it says this, but when the first came, notice, and here's where we get ourselves into trouble. It says this, they supposed. There's the issue right there. They supposed. You know what's going on in our economy right now with this minimum wage crisis that it is? People are supposing that they're worth more than what the job's worth. We have ones for so long, and it was the same way when I worked at Chick-fil-A. We had ones there that when I started at Chick-fil-A, I was making $7.25 an hour. When I left Chick-fil-A left there, of course, to come here, the minimum wage at that time was over $10 an hour, and most people were making at least $15. Some were making 18, doing the same job that I was doing when I started there. Because in this country, people are supposing that they deserve more money. They suppose. You know, there's a lot of believers that have this attitude when it comes to spiritual things. Not when it comes to this money thing here. Of course, their attitude may be in that as well, but notice they were supposing. We get into trouble when we start supposing things. And this is what happens in the life of many believers, even though the Lord, very plainly, he said this in his word, in this world ye shall have tribulations. You know what we as believers suppose? We suppose that it should just be a easy time. We suppose that we should have nothing going on in our lives that is uncomfortable for us. But the Lord said, you're going to have tribulations. And then we get all bent out of shape because, well, I'm serving the Lord, therefore I shouldn't have to go through these things. Not what we see in the Bible. We suppose that we should not have tribulations, and people will say, well, I suppose that God just doesn't love me. That's a foolish statement. Be careful when we start supposing things. When you suppose things that God should do, you're going to quickly find yourself opposing what God is trying to do. And that's true in each and every one of our lives. When we think that we know better than God, then guess what? When God tells us something, we're going to oppose that. Because we don't want to go down that way. I don't think you see all the details and all the trouble this is going to take me into here. I don't think you understand what's going on here. Lord, I think this is what's better. And you know what happened in every one of those sentences I just said? I said this word, I. And then I said this. I think, I suppose, I know what is best. Now, our heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Let's follow what God wants us to do. Notice here at the end of the day, every one of these workers got paid. Every one of them. The ones that started in the first hour and the ones that came at the very end, all of them got paid. The last crowd to get paid was the first crowd that went out. They had agreed on their wages before they went to work. They were watching others receive their wages. The ones who had agreed first were getting mad, and they started complaining about what they were getting paid. Yet they knew exactly beforehand what they were going to make. I think many times they person's heart attitude is shown through the questions that they ask. Notice here the disciples here, they ask this question, what shall we have therefore? You know, I believe that this is showing a lack of faith in the Lord's provision. And it's easy for us to point our fingers at these disciples and say, well, they should have had more faith. But then we realize the times in which times were tough in our life, and we were complaining to the Lord and asking, why? Why am I going through this? I shouldn't have to be going through this. And the whole time the Lord's saying, I'll give you what you do. I'm going to take care of you. Just have faith. You know, when I was growing up, I Never had to ask my dad if there was going to be anything to eat today or a place for us to sleep or if we were going to have a roof over our head, because I knew this. My dad was a hard worker and he was going to take care of us. Some way or another, we were going to be taken care of. I had faith that my dad was going to do that. But yet when it comes to our Heavenly Father, we tend to ask questions that reveal our hard attitude. Do we trust God? Do we truly trust Him? Because if we do, then we have to come to the conclusion that He is going to take care of us. Look at verse 31 of Matthew chapter 6, if you will. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31. Notice the Bible says this, Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Notice there, all. He knows that ye have need of all of these things. It doesn't say some of those things. It says all of these things. You know, not one time in the Word of God does God promise to give us everything that we want. Not one time. You know what He does promise? To give us everything that He knows that we need. When we complain that, well, I don't have everything I need. No, your needs are a little out of whack. You have food, you have water, you have clothing, you have a family that loves you, you have a church family that loves you, you have a place to go to church, you have a roof over your head. Guess what? God has given us everything that we need. Let's trust in Him. Praise the Lord. Understand that He is going to provide for our needs. It's a wonderful truth here we need to get a hold of this morning, because there's going to be times, and can I tell you, this has happened in my life, there's going to be times in which the bills just keep coming in. Just keep coming. You ever got to the point where you are hoping the mail just doesn't show up that day? Lord, please help that mail vehicle to break down today. I don't want that mail to come today. I'm not going to the mailbox today because I know what's in there. The bills just keep coming. Lord says, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to give you exactly what you need. Notice here also times in which the car just keeps breaking down and things just happen one right after the other. And during those times, the devil, he does a good job at discouraging us as believers. He does a good job at taking our eyes off of God. But notice here, every single one of these laborers got exactly what the Lord knew was due unto them. Our Heavenly Father, He knows our needs, not just the what we would consider large needs, but the little ones as well. And can I tell you this? Every need that we have is small in the eyes of God. Every one of them. Doesn't matter what it is. It's small in the eyes of God. So notice just a few things here, and we'll go through these in just a couple of minutes. But notice, first of all, laborers are needed. If you look at Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38, notice the Bible says this, Matthew chapter 9, verse 38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Notice, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. You know what we don't see there? We don't see that we are to send forth laborers. The Lord sends forth the laborers. Who's the laborers that He sends forth? Well, that's you and me if you're saved here today. He sends us forth and pray that the Lord is going to send more laborers into the field. That's what we are to pray for, because laborers are needed. The Lord gave this parable in Matthew chapter 20, and we know that He was talking about a man who needed laborers, and the Lord needs laborers as well. When He spoke in Matthew 9:38, he said that He needs laborers. Every nation of the world is filled with people who need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every single one of them. There's not one person that does not need the gospel of Jesus Christ. They all need it. We've said it many times. It's impossible to give the gospel to the wrong person. Amen. Let's be giving out the gospel. Every nation needs that. Oxford, Pennsylvania. Oxford needs it. Pennsylvania needs it. America needs it. Everyone around the world needs Christ. And how are they going to get that gospel if we are not willing to be the laborers that we're called to be? Every single day. It's what we're called to be. Something that's amazing is this. Even though we have all of this technology, we have more ways to get things out than ever before, guess what? God still chooses to use you and me to get the gospel out. He does. You know, God could write in the sky, John 3:16. He could do that. But that's not what he desires to do. He desires for us to go and tell. He desires for us to be his laborers. He chooses us to get his message to people, the ones who have never heard about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They need to be saved. And then get this, once they've heard about the Lord and Savior and they get saved, they are to tell the others who have not heard. Laborers are needed. If we're going to serve the Lord, we must do it now. We have so little time. Think about what could be done in our churches if we move together with a passion for souls. But if we are going to be like the people who said, well, I'm going to serve, but as long as everything is worked out, well, I'm going to serve as long as I know what I'm going to get at the end, then we're never going to serve. We just need to trust the Lord that he's going to provide for us. He's going to give us everything that we need. Are we going to be like the ones who are murmuring and complaining, or the ones who are willing to just follow the Lord? Laborers are needed. Notice number two here. Looking at others, notice, will ruin your life. It's going to ruin your life. These laborers, at the beginning of the day, they were talking to the Lord of the vineyard here, and he said this, I'm going to give you a penny for the day. And no doubt, they in their minds, they said, wow, this is really going to help out. I've got this bill that needs to be paid, or I've got this thing that needs to happen. And if I go out and I work this day, here's the money that I'm going to get. And wow, this is great. What changed? Their wage didn't change. So how did their attitude change from the first hour of the day to the end of the day when it became payment time? Here's what changed. Their eyes were on others rather than on where they should have been. They were looking at others. Well, look what they got paid. If they got paid that, then this is what I should get. He says, that's not what you agreed to. You agreed that this is what you were going to get paid, and it was fine then, and it needs to be fine now. Many times we bring problems on ourselves because we're looking at other people rather than looking at Christ. One of the things we learn first in life is this, how disappointing people can be. And all of us have learned that lesson. No matter how great a person may be, guess what? They're going to disappoint you at some point or another. It's going to happen. Watching other people is going to ruin your life. These people became disgruntled, not because of what they got paid, but because of what others got paid. The Lord designed the Christian life. He designed it so that we do not watch everyone else and listen to everyone else. The Lord designed it that we keep our eyes on him. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, it says this, looking unto him. Looking unto him. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's where our eyes should be. And as we go through the scriptures, we see every time that we are to be looking unto him. Not only looking at others will ruin your life, but notice lastly here, the Lord is trustworthy. We have studied through these parables and we found many truths through them, but each and every one has a great truth. And the great truth that's found in this parable is this, God will take care of you. He's going to. He's going to take care of you. The Lord said this, ready? Whatsoever is right will I give you. You know what he didn't say here? Whatsoever you think is right. Not what he said. He said, whatsoever is right. You know, praise the Lord, he did not leave things up to us. Because if you're anything like me, I've messed some things up in my life. I've done that. We have to trust in God's will. We are not to decide what is right. God is. And if we let God do the deciding, he will decide much more in our favor than we ever imagined. God already gave us his son, and we can know for sure that he's going to give us everything that we need. We should be serving God simply because we know that he's going to take care of us. For that simple reason. We should be thanking God that he provides for us. We're here today and we're not starving because guess what? God provided food for us. We do not have to meet in some underground hidden room. Why? Because God has given us the freedom to freely assemble here. He's given us that. He's given us nice clothes to wear. He's given us family that loves us. We have a God in heaven who has paid for our sins. Praise the Lord for that. He cares for us. Let's trust in him. Let's have faith in God. Let's trust him because he is trustworthy. And let's understand who we are laboring for. These men here were laboring for a man who was going to give everyone what they were due. We're laboring for a God who's going to do the same thing. There is not one person that when they get to heaven and they see the glory of God, they're going to say, well, if I known it was going to be this bad, I wouldn't have given all that for God. No, it's going to be. No, instead, we'll be flat on our face saying, God, I wish I'd given you more. I wish there was more time that I could have given you. I wish I would have gotten saved earlier and yielded to your word earlier. I wish I would have told this family member or this coworker, whatever it may be, that person in your life. We're going to say, Lord, I wish I would have given more to you. Not one time will the thought cross our mind, Lord, I wish you would have given me more while I was on earth. No, because we understand he gave us everything. He gave us a son. He needs laborers. But in order to be a laborer for God, biblically speaking, we have to understand that the master will take care of the laborer. And let's work for him. Amen? Let's pray.